cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to do. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you got a hand tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have the dream. You're the best around. Yeah. You are the best. Cat Figure Podcast, episode 37. Hi, my name is Ryan DePaula. Who are you?
I'm Tom McLaughlin.
Hi, Tom.
Hello.
So, sorry for the hiatus and weird show, or great show last time. Who's number 37?
Yeah, so the player that wore 37 the most years was Kenny Rogers, who... I think he also operated like a rotisserie chicken.
And didn't he have a song? No. You gotta know when to fold them.
Oh, no. We might actually be talking about the Kenny Rogers, the singer. Yeah. Yeah, he, I think, was the one who had the chicken place.
And the number 37?
Different person. But
Roy Rogers
name.
Is the chicken place.
No, but there was also another chicken place.
Oh, my God.
I think.
My head is exploding. Roy Rogers was the roadside jump off. Anyway, so who besides Roy Rogers?
So,
Kenny Powers.
Kenny. Norm Charlton wore it for 13 years.
Oh, the old Norm. They called him Big Cock Norm.
Jeff Supon. And then other players who wore the number 37. Pedro wore it on the Expos his first 2 years.
Ooh, I like how, again, we're just like Tito Francona, it's like the insider. We're on a first-name basis with Pedro at this point. He's a friend to the show.
Pedro.
Martinez.
The one and only. Other than that, there really weren't a lot of players. Dave Steeb from the Blue Jays played from 79 to 98. He was on those the World Series teams. But, yeah, 37, I think, is one of those numbers that's, I don't know, players just don't like wearing it.
What? What kind of – I want to smack you, but I want to hug you at the same time. I want to smack you because it's a ridiculous thing to say, but I want to hug you because you're turning into a great radio personality, Tom, trying to have a hot take on any issue. The number 37 list of players, and Tom, you are now good enough at radio that you're able to like deduce a strong opinion and be like, you know, players just don't want to wear it. I like that. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of a blanket statement.
Commit, man. Don't back down.
Nah, I'm just going by the number of players who have worn it in MLB history.
Don't you just ruined the hot take. You just like explained how it's backed by facts and evidence. That just undoes the hot take. The hot take is like Colin Cowherd. Dominicans are stupid. That's why baseball's there. You know, like that's a hot take. So don't give me facts.
Okay.
All right. So, you know,
an ugly number.
Good. We were doing our MLB look at, right, where we went through each team, and then we sort of were thinking, like, maybe we should, you know, the show's still in its infancy, right, the Cat Figure Podcast, so we tried to, you know, we did a different episode last week, and we're still playing with it, so let us know what you think. We may return to the MLB look at, you know, or we may just do a couple more interesting teams and then drop it. We're still figuring out what this is. So let us know what you like and what you don't like. But so again, today we're not going to do the look at. We're just going to do what we think is the most interesting topic for today. You know, we still experimenting, right? So today, since it's February and we want to beat everybody to the punch of doing the hack bracket bit, we're going to do the hack bracket bit, right? Where everybody has bracket competitions when it's March Madness, but it's February, and Tom and I here at Cap Figure are ahead of the curve, right?
Yes.
Like a parabola.
Hashtag February sadness.
Hashtag ahead of the curve, right? And so what we're going to do a bracket of is, I titled it the Hawk Harrelson Lie Bracket, and this is it's just a 20-team single elimination bracket of lies about baseball. Some are rhetorical, some are more in-depth. Tom hasn't barely seen some of them, but I'm sure if his hot take on the number 37 is any indication, there'll be plenty more hot takes, sizzling takes to come. So get your oven mitts on and get ready for some sizzle. All right, so and these seedings are in no order. They're all equally lies.
Sure.
All right, so let's get right into it, Tom. The first matchup is between, quote, he's a gamer, and they have the momentum, right? You hear one, you hear he's a gamer. He's a, what's, he has grit. You know, he's just a real ball player.
He's a baseball player.
He's a baseball player. He was made to play baseball. You look at Pedroia, and his hat is dirty. He's a lunch pail type of guy versus... You know, the Colorado Rockies have won 17 straight heading into this World Series against the Red Sox in 07. They ended up getting swept. Momentum may or may not be a myth. Tom, what are your first instant sizzling reactions?
Well, I guess my question is, how are we going to pick who advances? Is it the bigger lie or...
Yeah, I think it's the... Well, we didn't even think about that. Well, I think it's the most pervasive and it's a combo of the most, believed and the biggest falseness, right?
Yep.
So like a x-axis of falseness and a y-axis of how many people believe it.
Yeah, I think it's got to be he's a gamer. I hear this term so much, and you know, they always talk about this with the players who aren't star players but they contribute in a bunch of areas. Like I think of Brett Gardner. He's a gamer.
He's a gamer.
He plays the field really well. He gives a lot of effort, and
he's white. They're always white.
It's not that he's a gamer. It's just part of his game playing with a lot of effort, right? Because he's being paid millions of dollars, and he wants to continue being paid millions of dollars.
Yo, that's such a good point. I'm just lowering you a little. You're good. Still, just stay the same distance. It's funny. Mike Francesa uses this term. I never thought of it. Right. It's like if you have the qualities of randomly stealing a base or making a good defensive play, you're a gamer. But if you hit home runs, you're not a gamer. Like, you have to be a little bit bad, and you have to be white. I seriously am not joking.
I agree,
like, they're all white, and you have to be a little willing to get dirt. Like if you look like, and this is racist, but so is the term who uses it, if you look like you're naturally athletic, you can't be a gamer no matter how hard you try.
Yep.
Right? Like Giancarlo Stanton, no matter how dirty he gets, he doesn't get to be a gamer.
Nope.
Because he hits home runs and has a centaur ass. Momentum though, I do think, this is the devil's argument take, is that, you know, momentum is wildly believed in all sports. You know, these two first two in the Hawk Harrelson lie bracket are both in all sports. Do you believe that momentum is real? Like, this is a deep philosophical thing I'm about to get into, and we'll do that for the Cap Figure Philosophy show. But, you know, like, momentum, when does it start? When does it end? You know, like the Rockies-Red Sox series is a classic example. The Rockies hadn't lost, and then they got swept.
Yeah, I don't believe in momentum, I would say, as much as it's, you know, I see it just as kind of a media term, right? Because if a team is winning a lot of games in a row, they're obviously very good. And so if they're very good and have been winning a number of games in a row, if they end up winning that game, then it's just like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, in that way, it's a predictor, but it's not a predictor. It's just like a summary for what's happened up until that game.
Right.
You know what? And you're right. If our, you agree with that criteria I set for this bracket, the pervasive versus and how many, like, and how stupid it is?
Yeah, I think the more widely accepted and more ridiculous it is,
it should proceed.
Yeah, okay. We should be picking this as if we're Hawk.
Right. Yes.
This Hawk's is what, belief
Hawk's
system.
Belief system. Hawk's moral baseball compass. So, all right, so we'll move on. I would agree. I think that momentum, last thing about it, is that people do say in baseball, you know, this goes to how widely believed it is category, that a lot of people do say the other saying, momentum is only your next day starting pitcher. So, momentum, all right, good. You know, you had a good tournament. Good job. So, he's a gamer, moves on. All right, next is, quote, you got a bunt here. Versus game one is the key game in a series. When teams that win game one go on to win the series X percent of the time. Both of these are very stupid, except one of them can be true, like, one out of every 10 times, and the other is always stupid to say.
Yeah, I would say my initial reaction
Your initial sizzling reaction.
The more ridiculous one is the game one is the key game.
And you hear this a lot, and it's just based out of a retarded understanding of, like, statistics, that it's like, people really say it and believe it. Like, when a series is tied 1-1, whoever wins game three goes on to win the series 80% of the time. It's like, yo, it should be 80%, you dingy.
Yeah, of course.
Like, they only need to win one more game after that, or whatever it is. It's obviously so stupid. But people, even smart people, and even you and I, like, it's hard to separate. Like, we were talking about the Cubs-Giants series, and we were like, you know, if the Giants win this game, then they can win the series. And we were including pressure in that, into that, right? And maybe we don't separate, like, yeah, but we'll have won another game is way bigger of an obstacle than the pressure. But I think that's a very stupid, commonly believed one. You got a bunt here, though. You know, you hear them say it a lot, to manufacture a run. And obviously, well, obvious to me, I don't know, just for anyone listening, which is who we're speaking to, I don't need to say that caveat. Bunting only makes sense. Bunting only ups your expected, it only ups your probability of scoring one run in the inning when you have runners on first and second and nobody out. That's the only time bunting adds to your probability that you will score a run in the inning.
The only caveat I have to that bunt argument, and, you know, sabermetricians have just, you know, obviously proven that bunting isn't necessarily a great strategy, but in all of those case studies, they're assuming that the person who's batting, who would be bunting, is an average hitter. And in a lot of cases, I agree that bunting wouldn't make sense with an average hitter, but if it's a bad hitter, then a lot of times, yeah, then bunt with him, get to the next hitter who could be better, and then your run expectancy is different. So I think there's been sort of an overreaction to the value or
the
lack of value
of
bunting. Yeah.
So you think it's more than just these numbers I'm saying, that there's only one time that it makes sense?
Yeah, I think there's definitely more than one time where it makes sense.
Well, I think you're stupid then. But all right, fine. Game one is the key game. We'll move on. Tom, I don't mean that back there. I was just trying to have sizzle takes for the listeners. Do you have any more on this battle?
No.
All right. You know, I just plan on doing round one today. Are you trying to do the whole bracket?
Whatever you want to do.
All right, we'll see where we go. All right, next matchup is, if you know, with robot umps, you don't want to lose the human element of the game. That, quote, you don't want to lose the human element.
Yep.
Versus shifts are silly. Shifts are just wacky with the clown shoes, clown nose shift.
Or shifts are bad sportsmanship.
Right. Or Joe Girardi. We got to work on eliminating shifts. I mean, enough is enough.
Yeah, these two, I'm kind of upset that they're both in the same.
You got to make tough choices when you're looking at Hawk's moral compass and his ridiculous belief system. There's a lot in there. There's only room for one.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would have to pick the human element one.
Well, why? Talk it out.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous because if you're taking this literally for face value, the human element, what you're suggesting is that you're losing bad calls.
Right, because this quote only comes up when people are discussing robot umps. Obviously, and you hear people say, you don't want to take the human element out of the game. Right, you're saying that by saying that, obviously, they're saying the human element is only when umps make bad calls. That's what you're eliminating out of the game. Or that just umps themselves are what the human element is, not the players playing. You know what I mean? Not, it's like the human element isn't like going to the park and seeing the Mick.
And nobody. And I hear this argument a lot. Nobody ever goes to a stadium to watch the umpires perform. I don't care at all about, honestly, their jobs, what they're actually doing.
No, I love it when there's a iffy call and the ump just waits and then goes, like, he pauses for a second, makes everyone wait, and then calls a ball at the shins a strike. I love that. You know, well, who wouldn't want that?
Yeah, and I don't know. I think this one, I think it's going to become more and more common as you know, the technology behind the robot umps becomes better and better.
What, you think more and more people are going to, like, try to adopt this silly belief system?
Yep.
All right, and then, so let's go over shifts are silly, though, quickly.
Yep.
This is a pretty stupid belief. See, here's the thing is that with this matchup, more people do say there's more people who believe that the human element would be taken out than believe shifts are silly. But I do think that shifts are silly is a stupider belief because shifts are not silly. It's like it's so offensive to the nature of sport to me when people like Joe Girardi or anybody talks about eliminating shifts, because the nature of the sport is like, this is the framework. You can do anything within it to try to win, right? And like trying to change the framework by saying second base can only stand from here to here. You know, it's so exciting to me, the idea of doing anything you want with your fielders and doing anything like that. And statistically, they do work. But maybe not that many people believe this.
Well, there are two parts to it, right? When someone like Joe Girardi saying that, I think he does have a point that, you know, when the shift has been so effective that it can detract from the watchability of the game because, you know, there's fewer base hits, and a lot of, you know, not diehard fans are intrigued by that idea. But
you're a homer.
I don't agree with that. But the reality is, like, to me, this is a very similar kind of thing to, like, when you hear people talking about the NBA and they categorize each player into a specific position just to conform with the belief system of how they've learned the game.
Right.
Right? Like, there's 9 players on the field and they need to stand here because that's how I saw it when I was a kid. That's what my little league coach taught me.
Or I've heard fans say, like, you know, they do all this shifting and then the guy hits it up the third baseline. It's like, that doesn't happen that often or they wouldn't do it. Right. I literally heard fans say that.
Yeah, they're just shifting and...
it's like the Pirates. It was a Pirates fan. I was with my dad. And he's like, they always shift and then they always get beat with it. It's like, no, they don't, or they wouldn't do it. All right, so I'll agree with you again. I won't put up a fight. It's your sizzling takes. All right, the next matchup is pitch counts hurt arms. You know, we coddle these pitchers, and I think it's hurting them. If we just let them go, then they'd be okay versus misremembering. And what... I don't know, maybe you're misremembering, but misremembering is the word of Roger Clemens when he was being told about steroids and that he misremembered whether or not he was juicing. And I guess why I have this in the Hawk Harrelson lie bracket is maybe misremembering is like I just put this in place for people not voting in Bonds and Clemens into the Hall of Fame. I've horribly phrased it, but basically just that they don't deserve to be in versus okay. Pitch counts hurt arms.
Okay, yeah. So my initial thing is, you know, the whole pitch counts hurt arms. I mean, it's just there's so much more to it than actually just the number of pitches thrown, and that's been proven – you know, so many times it has to do with the actual pitches they're throwing. And more important than the number of pitches are, you know, the number of high stress pitches, which have to do with, are there runners on base? Am I trying to throw it any harder?
Right.
You know? That has become one of the huge hot topics because of the lack of pitching in this game.
By me just phrasing it as pitch count hurt arms, I may be overly making their argument stupid, but it's this, you know, it's the same sentiment as that they would, if they were less coddled, then maybe there would be less injuries. That is a real belief that people have, right?
Yeah, and I think
even still, do people do believe pitch counts hurt arms? Which of these, I mean, do you think, I feel that that's stupider of these two, right? That's a stupider belief, but more people probably would say that cheaters shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame than that. So this is tough between the two.
Yeah, I think the cheaters not being in the Hall of Fame is more pervasive, and it's a little more reasonable
to me.
Which one?
The fact that they don't want Bonds and Clemens in the Hall of Fame. It's more pervasive, but it's more understandable. It's less stupid of a belief to me.
It is more understandable, But, you know, the reality is we know that my personal belief is Jeff Bagwell was a steroid user. There are people in the Hall of Fame that are steroid users. And
I just burned my face. You just burned my face with your sizzle take.
And
boo!
Bonds and Clemens were Hall of Famers
NYFD.
Bonds and Clemens were Hall of Famers before they took steroids. Anybody who watched the game knew that. If you honestly can say, you know, people make the argument, well, how do we know when they started taking steroids and did it push them over the top? Anybody who watched baseball knew Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens were so far and away at their prime, better than everybody else. The fact that they're not in the Hall of Fame, to me, is it's unfathomable. Really.
So you vote that moves on as a stupider thing?
I think that votes on.
All right, I'm with you, even though, you know, whatever. Both are kind of like, you know, a lot of these are like, you know, Guido-type guy ideas. Like, you know, these pitchers are pussies these days. You know, they get on base, they put a jacket around them, they friggin' need to do this, they do that, you know, like, and Bonds and Clemens, get the hell out of here. You got to stick a needle in your butt. Think of the kids. While he's sticking a needle in his son's ass so he could make the majors.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, hey, little Tony, you want to play good? Come here. Come here, bend over for dad again. And he's like, no, dad. Anyway, all right, so next is, I hope I wrote this correctly of what you sent me, but knuckleballers will mess up a team's timing.
Yeah, so the
Wait, let me just say, versus gotta have starters to win the World Series versus the idea that you can't, you know, I guess this could also include you can't rely on a home run or something to win the World Series. You got to have starters, right?
Right. You need great starting pitching to win the World Series. So the first one, basically, there's been this myth that once a team faces a knuckleball pitcher, then they go into a slump for, you know, the near future after that. Say a team is hitting really well, then they face a knuckleball pitcher, and then they just totally collapse.
Well, let me be Hawk Harrelson. It's a proven fact. You're going to tell me that I played in the league, man. I played in this baseball league, and when you're timing and you're getting your timing going against 95, 96, and then you tell me 66, that's going to mess my timing up. It's, you know, I may not be sabermetric, but I'm no simple math, right? 96 ain't 96, 66.
Right.
I made him a little more southern.
And I guess conceptually it kind of makes sense.
But it's not true.
But, yeah, the fact of the matter is then, you know, why wouldn't any team just throw a knuckleball pitcher the first game
of
any series? I mean, I know that there aren't that many people who have mastered the knuckleball, but if that were the case and it really did mess up hitters' timing, you would see them pitch game one of any series.
So and then what about the fact that you got to have starters to win the World Series?
Yeah, I'm just looking up the statistic I sent you. Yeah, so basically the past seven World Series champions, this is prior to this past World Series, the Cubs, the starting pitching in their respective leagues, so AL or NL, ranked 10th, 4th, 5th, 8th, 2nd, 5th, and 7th in starters ERA. So in more cases than not, starting pitching was either average or below average. And I think, you know, that is probably the area that can contribute most to a team winning the World Series, but it's just one part of the team. And, you know,
I lump this in with the same, not, you know, not for the sake of the this lie bracket, but I almost put on this bracket that home run hitting teams can't win the World Series or something that, like,
yeah,
you know, people think, I guess it just takes a long time for everyone's idea to adjust. I mean, in the baseball inner circles or whatever, in the last couple years since the Royals, having a good bullpen is the new, like, in thing, and especially after last season. So maybe it just takes time for people's idea to adjust of what wins a World Series.
Yep.
When really, though, we don't know, you know, it's like any good team can win the World Series if they're good in any, you know, it's the same things that win games in the regular season, slightly magnified or different.
Right, and, you know, look at this year. The Indians didn't win the World Series, but they had basically one starting pitcher who was
right.
Like, you know, Trevor Bauer was injured.
Right.
Carrasco was injured. Salazar was injured. So, yeah, I mean, you maybe need one good starting pitcher. And then look at the Royals teams, you know,
yeah,
the 2 years
yeah,
before that.
Right.
You know, I would say just because of the lack of knuckleball pitchers in the league, as opposed to, you know, say like the 90s, I would say that the starters winning the World Series.
Yeah, you hear that more. All right, so here's next. We got three more matchups in round one. All right, so here's the next two. And I'll try to, all right. So with first, we have Chemistry Matters. If you want to have a good winning team, they got to like each other. Chemistry matters. You got to have a manager who can manage the personalities and let the team get along. Versus when a player gets hit and you hear, retaliation is just the way it is, Brian. You know, you can say that it is, okay. That you could say it is just, you know, it's silly or you know, Neanderthal-y, but this is just the way it is. It's always, you're going to take an eye for an eye. It's just the way it is. I do that in a player voice because the other ones are more like fan sentiments, but retaliation excusers are usually idiot ex-players who are like, hey, you know, it's just what's going to happen.
Yeah, that always happens when, you know, a batter is hit. You always see the
Some
other team
pitcher.
Throw the ball at...
It's so
yeah.
stupid. Throw and risk guys' careers. Throwing baseballs.
Yeah, and it doesn't help your team either because in any case, you're putting someone on base.
And, right. Oh, and, right, it, yeah, literally in the moment or like a situation like the Pirates a couple years ago, then your best player gets hurt when Andrew McCutchen got hurt from a retaliation situation.
Yep.
It's just so stupid. I can't believe that any player, current or ex, would defend it. Like, there's better ways to settle it. I know that maybe you get more of a penalty. Like, if you punch somebody, then you get fined. I guess it's like within the rules, maybe there's some case to be made for the best way to handle it. But, you know, I just, there's gotta be, it's so stupid.
Yeah.
You're risking 100%. Guys' lives. Like my dad always says, like, yo, if somebody threw near my head, I'm acting like everything's cool and then running from first base and choking him. Like,
yeah, no, that is totally absurd. And it gets even more absurd when you actually hear people try to. Justify
it.
The fact that it has to happen, and if you don't do it,
oh, it's just
like,
the nature of thing. I know.
Yeah, like your team is gonna fall apart.
I know. It's like what the NBA doesn't have to. They don't. They're not like hockey where they don't have to have an outlet, and they barely fight.
And then you know, moving on to the chemistry matters point. Obviously, it matters. I mean, if you,
I so disagree.
Like, and this comes into play with you know. The players on the team, if they're happy and they enjoy the players that they're around, their performance is obviously going to be better than if they disliked everyone on their team. So it is kind of just a self-fulfilling prophecy.
I guess, but it's not... Okay, well, one, obviously baseball is the most individual sport, but you need everybody to be playing well more than any other sport, right?
Right.
You don't need, it's not like maybe if you're a second baseman, you got to get along with your shortstop a little bit. You know, on field chemistry somewhat matters, but I don't think, yes, you probably play well if you're in a better mood and don't hate everybody, but I don't think chemistry, I think this is silly rhetoric just the same as these others, and I know you think chemistry matters. I know we disagree on it, I should say, but honestly, you're retarded. No, I'm kidding.
No, I think we're looking at it from the same point of view that I think it's overblown, but I just view it as more of a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Because, you know, they only talk about chemistry with the teams that are really good, and a lot of times they're a lot happier when they are doing well.
But I don't think we really know. You know, they could hate each other. Eric Hosmer is a dick. He probably slept with every guy's girlfriend on the team, and they still act like they like him.
You just don't like him.
He fucked my girlfriend. Not really. I hate him.
Why?
And also because
he's
nothing
home.
To do with the World Series. Yeah, nothing to do with making Lucas Duda and David Wright look bad. All right, so retaliation moves on.
Yeah.
All right. So and the next matchup. This is similar to the winning game one is the key game. But you hear this just the same. I had to include both. And I've heard Michael Kay say this, and I've heard many guys in the, what are your keys to the game today? He says, well, I would say turnovers and points off turnovers. And then in baseball, it's like getting ahead 0-1. He's got to get ahead in counts. That's key today. You know, when he's ahead 0-1, he gets an out, you know, this the 80% of the time. And then this is versus, man, nobody wants to see pitches hit. Can't we just have a DH everywhere? Everywhere else in the world has a DH. We don't pay to see these pitches hit.
Yeah, I think I'm not going to make my decision yet, but that one getting ahead 0-1 is key today. Like, that is just so – it's exactly out of the cut of the Mark Schlereth. You know, the team that wins the turnover battle today, the team that controls the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, whoever recovers the most fumbles, like they name some random event or some obvious, like, thing.
It's like, if you're a pitcher, you're – entire goal with the first pitch that you're throwing is to throw a strike.
Right, right.
And no. Not give up a hit. So
I think he really should try. I think Verlander today should really try to get as many outs as possible.
So it's like you're literally, like, if you're taking the game, right, there are, let's say, 125 pitches that a team will throw during the game, right? So the smallest increment you can break that up into is you want to win each pitch. So, yes, the first pitch you throw of the game, of course you want to get ahead 0-1.
Yeah, right. What is a successful? It's like a binary code. Like, yeah. A pitch is either a strike or a ball, you know. And it's like, you want to win it or you want to lose it. It's like winning pitches is good. They've got to have good positive plays to get a positive outcome.
Yeah, so if they throw more strikes, they're going to win.
It is so stupid. And I think people, because you hear the stats, like, if you don't think about it, it's just like, yeah, well, oh, you know, David, or you hear, you almost hear a less offensive version of this when you hear, with the bases loaded, this guy is, you know, hitting 350. And it's like, guys, with the bases loaded, he's almost definitely hitting a pitcher who's struggling, or a new pitcher to the game, right?
Pitcher
or
that's
a middle
struggling,
reliever
who can't afford to walk you.
Right, right. It's such a different scenario, you know. Or and that's that, and then a little more offensive version is like when he's ahead 3-0, and then this is like the most pervasive. And then the other one, I guess, is like, you know, I don't actually know how you feel about the DH or not. What's your opinion?
Well, with this, nobody wants to see pitchers hit. I definitely want to see pitchers hit. I mean, I'm just off the top of my head, like, two main points.
Mad Bum is your favorite, dude.
Yeah, that 3 points, right? Madison Bumgarner hitting is amazing. One of the best moments in baseball last year was when Bartolo Colon hit a home run.
Yeah.
The other one where he hit the ball and it rolled all the way to the fence. I think he got a triple.
Yeah.
And
a
then
double, and he was winded.
On top of it, for actual, like, true baseball fans, having the pitcher in the lineup and understanding, you know, the strategy of the game, it makes it so much better because a lot of times you have to pull the current pitcher, put in a pinch hitter. And especially when you're dealing with only the 25-man roster, which is 90% of the season.
Right.
You know, then the manager's actually forced to make decisions. So
I agree. I think it's. I don't understand how. I feel that there's more of this than the other side, right? That there's more. I more often hear. I don't ever hear people in the NL, obviously, because I guess they know it would never happen, saying that the AL should adopt the pitcher hitting rules. But I do hear this a lot more than I would think, that it seems like there's more pro DH people than there aren't. And I guess people think to casual fans or the players would want more jobs, but it doesn't create any more roster spots. I just think it's so stupid because, like, and Max Scherzer said this, when whoever got hurt. And it's like, you know, I absolutely want to see pitchers hit. I think it's so cool that, like, the Cardinals used to always have good hitting pitchers, and now the Mets do. I remember saying, like, oh, I wish the Mets pitchers could hit, and now they can. And obviously the strategy is way more interesting. So, I think getting ahead 0-1 is key today because it's like a Mark Schlereth thing. It's just so stupid. But I do really not like the DH sentiment. I'm sad these two had to see each other in the first round.
Yeah, we'll go with getting ahead 0-1 is key today.
All right.
Because only today is a key.
Yeah, it's key today in today's game. All right. So the last matchup is a little weird, but so there's something special about those pinstripes, right? When you put on the pinstripes, there's something special versus Marcus Stroman is good.
Yes, this is a good one. Okay, so there's something.
You're a Yankee fan, by the way, and you just were able to see clearly that, you know, the pitcher hitting is cool. You weren't blinded by your AL affiliation, but will you be blinded by your pinstripes?
Well, the thing that's funny about, you know, the special, something special about pinstripes, like, the Yankees aren't the only ones who wear pinstripes.
Right, that's
like,
what I see.
Off the top of my head, it's like the White Sox.
They did a thing. A bunch of teams have worn pinstripes. Like
the Marlins
the Mets
used
do
to.
It in their Sunday uniforms and stuff or whatever.
Yeah, it's and I don't think anybody ever, when the Yankees, let's go back to, like, you know, the Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig eras, I don't think anybody was ever like, oh, you know, it's this team with the pinstripes.
The
pinstripes had nothing to do with it. I think it just became a marketing ploy of the Yankees.
Yeah. So it is funny. There's something special about those pinstripes. This is every caller to the fan. It's like, Mike, I tell you, look, I know he could go to Florida and pay no taxes there, and I know he could make $40 million. But there's something special about those pinstripes. If your cock doesn't get a little more blood when you go into Yankee Stadium with those pinstripes on, you need Viagra. Versus Marcus Stroman, I don't like him. He pitches to contact.
He's so overrated.
He's so overrated. He was my most example. I really just was like, I want to make fun of one player who's overrated. And he's like, because he gets out and he's exciting and he's all into it and he's 5'9 and he's like a cool story. And he's like, whatever, struggled. But it's like, the dude ain't that good, bro.
Yeah, dude, you're not that good.
Dude, you're not that good, bro.
Yeah, like, he had his own commercial on, like, the MLB Network this past year. You know, I think he missed most of the season prior to this one. Like, he had one pretty good stretch and then had a good postseason start. But, you know, this year was his first year of, like, a full year. He was fully healthy. He was horrible.
Yeah.
Like, not at any point in the year did he look anywhere like, you know, a number one or a number two rotation guy.
Right. Maybe after his first start. Like, but even then, it's like he only has a couple strikeouts. He's
totally
not that good.
Yeah. The Yankees were crushing him this year, and, like, they were not a good team.
So, dude, you're not that good, bro. Don't come into New York with this Stroman exciting stuff, all right? Get out of here. You're not the Blue Jays ace. Maybe you are now, but really that's Dickey's team. Well, not anymore because the Braves or whatever, but, well, maybe that's Bartolo team.
It's Kendrys Vargas.
Dude, it's
Kendrys Morales.
Kendrys Morales team. Vargas is a little bit racist there, Tom. All right, so that's round one.
I got to go with Stroman.
Yeah, I hate him. I knew you would be a Yankee hater. No, I'm kidding. All right, so that's good. So that'll do it. You know, maybe we'll just, we don't need to go over the matchups again, maybe because we delved into these. So maybe we'll just, like, do this, the rest of the bracket on our own, and then just reveal quickly, like, our thoughts on it for next time.
Well, what we can do is I'll type up this bracket, put it online, and then we can tweet out to the fans.
Oh, that's a very
some
good
matchups.
Idea. Vote.
Maybe
almost.
We can even, we could probably even put in, like, a wild card if anybody has any other, you know, baseball myths that they want to bring up.
Yeah, we could do, like, four more. Yeah, if you got more, we could do a special entry, and you get to play Marcus Stroman is good.
The will to win.
So, yeah. Oh, I should, yeah. TW matters. That's almost like my chemistry matters. All right, so I guess that's it for this episode. Let us know what you guys think, if you want us to continue our look at or what. You know, we're, like I said, we're just doing whatever we think is the next best episode now and playing with the podcast. Give me one more sizzling take about life in general.
About life in general?
Quick, come on.
Man, it's cold here in New York.
I guess, like I say, sizzling, and you can only think of hotness and coldness. That's a hot take, though.
Man, it's cold in New York.
Man, you seen the weather outside, bro? All right. Bye, guys. Thank you.